Welcome back to Magnetic North, where Mother Nature showed her mommy dearest side, sending wickedly high winds downing trees on nearly every road and property recently. I was out of town during the storm and got home so tired from travel that it was almost a week before I noticed the 60-foot-long poplar lying along the back edge of the yard. And but for my 5 goats clamoring among its limbs, I might well have missed it until spring. The poplar, which stood throughout its life in obscurity among the spruce and jack pine by the old dog kennel, now became a fabulous treat of tender twigs and bark for a small herd of goats. Watching the goats clamor among the now reachable branches of the down tree made me think about how, depending on a tree's place, either in the landscape or one's history, its felling can be cause for so many emotions, from annoyance to fear to grief, and for goats and deer, celebration. During the 28 years that I've lived, nestled on 3 sides by typically tangled northern woods and looking out on a 6-acre meadow to the south, only once has a certain tree fallen to earth and left a permanent bruise on my heart by its absence. It wasn't even the most iconic of the trees on the acreage, the one where all the critters are laid to rest when their time comes. At the east end of the meadow towers this beloved white pine, which is, as far as I know, the only one left standing by the Norwegian immigrants who claimed this land, living by logging, fishing, hunting, and farming, little more than root vegetables. And although I call this lone giant mine, I know better. So many times over the years, wind, fire, and even human carelessness taught me that all I call mine is merely on loan. The big pine came close to being felled by a lightning strike during a ferocious storm right before 9/11. Paul and I watched a pin cherry take a bolt of lightning and burn like a torch in the night, even in the pouring rain. The next strike was within feet of the white pine, but a birch took the worst of the fiery blow, while the pine to this day bears a scar over 30 feet long on her trunk. "If that tree goes," one of us said, watching the smoke across the meadow that night. But that night it stayed, and so did we. But the first fallen tree on the farm that truly left that bruise on my heart was a gnarled and spreading red pine that stood behind the chicken run. The axle and wheels of an old buggy were so deeply sunken in the loam around the tree trunk that roots had become entwining the buggy wheel spokes. Paul and I would sit there watching the chickens in the run, chicken videos we call those times, stroking our old barn cat Mitten, one of the East County 14 six-toed cat clan. I think Mitten got taken by an owl one winter night, but the tree survived her for years, until one night it fell. The next morning, I carried water and feed in buckets to the coop as usual, only dimly aware as I got to the steps of the little structure that the massive branches and trunk of the great tree were now horizontal behind the run, instead of standing upright, guarding and swaddling the coop and the little flock inside. I know Paul would have grieved with me that day for the loss of the chicken video tree, but just months earlier, his time had come too. Of course, when most trees fall in a place like this, all forest, no one notices, and only a few feel bereaved by the absence of any one of them. And then there are the stunning losses, like the butchering of the Washington Pines, white pines, senselessly downed by vandals. The chainsaw downing of those white pines in the beloved stand on the Gunflint Trail was grotesque and senseless. And though the perpetrators were caught and punished, that didn't put the trees back. That didn't take away that hurt, or the empty space in the landscape. All this happened in the year before North House Folk School had their first class, Make Your Own Kayak, out on the Coast Guard building off Artist Point. I covered the class for the local paper and discovered that the butchered Washington pine trees were being resurrected in the very bodies of the kayaks. Instructor and Folk School founder Mark Hansen had salvaged much of the wood for use in those first handmade craft. The pines got a second life, many second lives, really, through all the trips and paddles those kayaks have taken over the years. The sheer perfection of that outcome still makes me smile. However, sometimes in a county of trees and can-do folks, a tree falls and someone gets hurt or worse. And for that person, that family, the landscape of life is forever altered. John Lennon lamented back in the day that life is what happens while you're making other plans. And so it was with my recent brilliant idea to use a downed tamarack branch to make a wreath for the front of the house. Making it took me 3 hours and wire punctures on both hands. But at last, the big golden circle was done, and I hung it between the garage doors, a thing of beauty and a joy forever. Forever, in this case, being one night. My 5 goats found it and finished off their poplar lunch with a tamarack late-night snack. But did I get angry? Not me. I got even. I made another tamarack wreath and doused it with hot sauce. Let's face it, Mother Nature isn't the only one with a Mommy Dearest side. For WTIP, this is Vicki Bakes Anderson with Magnetic North.